Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, this is Jeremiah speaking, thus saith the Lord, stand in the way and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, good side, not the good way, excuse me, the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your soul. We don't need to just have rest for our bodies in the places that we go. But Jeremiah's telling us we need to have rest for our inner soul. That when we speak, that we'll have enough rest to speak the right things. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected me. Jeremiah said right here, he's telling the people right here, he says, you need to hearken. You need to hearken to the Word of God. You need to listen to what the Word of God is saying to your heart. And we can see the way that there's speaking about the way the individuals act, the way what they're looking for and everything, and that's talking about their hearkening to the sound of the saying. And let's see, but they said, we will not hearken. In other words, we're not going to do what you tell us to do. That's just like when the Holy Spirit tells us what to do. We said, no, we're not going to do it right now. I can't do it right now because I've got somebody I've got to go visit. But have you been to the place that you went to visit and you didn't go to the other place that the Lord wanted to go to? You went to the place you visited and they walked out. They was on break or they left the house to pick up the kids, but they're not down. The old path of personal acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Many in our land have turned from this old path, which shows the need of men to the to the saved in which present the Lord Jesus as a Savior. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, is the message that God would have us to proclaim. We need to proclaim the old path. We need to look for that old path. We don't need just to look at something we have and say, well, this is the old path. It's got to be the old path because we have it. No. A whole lot of people think they got the old path, but they don't have it. They don't have it at all. And it's because of the things that they have believed, it's things that they have set aside. And the old path of modesty, of purity, of separation, and of holy and godly living. Think how the old standards have been put aside. Think of the attitude of the average person to God's command. You know, I do not think that God approves all of this that's going around today, where they claim to be a Christian, and yet they'll come dressed any way they can. Now, I do know this, that if a lost individual come into the house of God, we don't have no right to condemn them. We don't have no right to turn them away. Because see, that's the only thing they know. What we must do, we must invite them in. And as they come in, they can look around if the people in here has got some kind of modesty and got some kind of a dress code and everything. Then when they come in with shorts on or pants or whatever, they can see that on the other individuals. And I don't like it when a man comes in the church. It doesn't have a tie on. And I mean, in a white shirt. And I know they do. But ever since the Lord saved me, I have been to church, and every time I've been to church or Bible study or maybe an eating or something like that the class would have, I would always have a tie on. And I always have a shirt on. The majority of times it'll be a white shirt. But I didn't wear it because I had to. And I didn't wear it because the people was going to look down on me because I wasn't wearing it. I wore it out of the respect that I have for my Savior. Because see, he did a whole lot more for me than I can ever imagine, than I can even come even one little small fingernail could come to him. Of all the things he done for me, He saved me from the pits of hell. I don't have to worry about going to hell. Once I got saved, it ceased to be about me. It's not about me any longer. But before I was saved, oh yes, it was about me. Because I wanted this and I wanted that. I wanted to go here and I wanted to go there. And I wanted to buy this and I wanted to buy that. Whether I had the money or not, I just go to the bank and borrow the money. No. That's what it was before, because I was looking for it for myself. To feel my own joy. To feel the loneliness that I had in my life. And I didn't realize it at the time. The loneliness that I felt wasn't the new cars or the new homes or the new job that's making $20 or $30 an hour. The loneliness that I was feeling, and I didn't realize it at that time. The loneliness that I was feeling was this man called Jesus. But you know, I sure am thankful that he knows all things. And I sure am thankful that he knows when to show up. Not only does he know when to show up, but he also knows when and how to get in touch with the Holy Spirit. Because I met the Holy Spirit first before I ever met Jesus. We all did. And they, people don't give the Holy Spirit credit. They don't think he done anything for us. But he did. He done more for us than anything, because he's the one that introduced me to Jesus. Me and Brother James Apple, we went down to church in Dan Greenberg, Shining Light Baptist Church. And there's a revival that week. I mean, we went tonight. I'll tell you, Lord have mercy, if a revival got loose like that in Danville, Virginia, every church would close the doors and wouldn't even go back in the church. But that's the way the people would feel. But I'll tell you one thing, that man, he preached. And he just preached an old simple message. And an old simple message was, you must be born again. Is the only way you'll ever get into heaven. You must be born again. And people's coming to the altar. I mean, they weren't just coming 4 and 5. The altar was completely full. Any church could hold probably 800, maybe to 1,000 people. But the altar was full. And they won't just appear single file. They was 2 and 3 deep. And it was a man there sitting back behind me and Brother James on the other side. He stood up and he passed through the church. He said, "Now, I want everybody to give this individual your full attention. And you listen to what's being said." And he said this. He told the individual there, he said, "Now, there will come a time when God will not speak to you. When the Holy Spirit will not speak to you. And when the Lord Jesus won't even acknowledge you. And you say, you probably say, well, how do you know that? I know that because I went over to the deadline. God told me that night. Tonight. And he said, if you don't tonight, you won't have no more chances. Well, naturally you would think that, you know, a God that is like that, you know, as good as God is, as good as God's love for individuals, you know, you would think that, you know, God would never speak to us no more and would not try to save us. But he says in his word that there will come a time that you'll meet the deadline. And when you do, that's it. And he told the people, he said, "I've met that deadline, and I can get saved. I would love," I'm telling you right now, he said, "I would love to be able to get saved." He said, "I just love to hear something from the Lord. I would just love to hear something pulling at my heartstrings. I would just love to hear that once again. But I don't hear it no more. I can't get saved if I want to." And that would be just like you that are saved. You can't get lost if you want to. And he kept on. And he brought to the people's attention. He probably been speaking probably about maybe 10, 12 minutes, something like that. He brought to the people's attention. He said, "I know it's probably ain't nobody here seen it. And you may not have felt it. I don't know. But there is somebody in this church tonight. Matter of fact, in the next moment or two, need to get up from their seat and go to the altar. And you need to trust Jesus. I can't trust him for you. And I can't even trust him for myself. But I'll bring everybody's attention to one thing that's going on here in the church. You haven't seen it. But I want every individual's eye in the congregation, up in the choir, the pastor, the evangelist, I want everybody's attention to focus their eyes on one thing. On one thing. And it's not on somebody else. But you focus your eyes on that chandelier over there, the one next to the back of the, next to the front of the church where the choir is at. You focus on that chandelier. And they focused on it, and I looked at it, and I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing doing it. I didn't see nothing. But it won't. Probably less than 30 seconds later, that chandelier, that great big chandelier, looked like it's probably about 4 or 5 foot in diameter. You start swaying. Start swaying back and forth. You know what that was? You know what was causing that? The same thing that causes us to do what we need to do. But we don't even look at it. We don't even acknowledge it today. You know, it's amazing how we can feel and imagine what the Holy Spirit would look like. Which we know what it's, we know what the Bible says. The Bible says it's like the wind. You can see the effect of the Holy Spirit, but you cannot see the Holy Spirit. That's just like a wind idea. We can go ahead and look at the wind. We can see the effects of it because the trees are swaying. But we can't see the wind. We can feel it, but we can't see it. You can, well, we've been on, I know you've seen all the tornadoes and the hurricanes going around and everything. All of them cities. I mean, one particular town was wiped completely out. Every building in it was leveled down to the ground. What? Who done that? When? What done it? It was the wind. It was the Holy Spirit trying to tell the people, you don't want me. You don't want to see me no more. You don't want to talk to us. So, I don't need you. I don't need you to just take up space. I need somebody else that's willing to take up some space and go out and do what they were supposed to intend to do. The Holy Spirit. We need to think on that a lot. And I've thought about it a whole lot here lately. When I watch TV and the newsman come on, weatherman come on, and they talk about the hurricanes and all of that, when it comes through and they will take houses down. They will come in and they will take this house. But the one on the left and the right won't touch. Why? Well, maybe the one that was on the left and the right side, they was talking to the Lord when it said something about the storm coming. But the other one that was in the middle won't talking about the Lord, won't asking for the Lord's help, and won't asking for the Lord to provide for them. The Lord has so much for us to look upon, and a whole lot more to grasp. You know, that's what Jeremiah was looking at. Jeremiah was looking at the things of the past. He was looking at things for the future. But he was going to bring the old path into the future. That's what we need to do. We need to allow our children to see us that is saved by God's grace. Stand up and just wave an old holy hand to God. Hey, I love it when I go. I've been in these churches. I ain't been in the last year. I can't really, I'm not able really to go all that much. But I have been in the churches here in the last four or five years that I've seen grandmas. And I've seen them bring their children up the same way. And the preacher, he'd be up there preaching. And he'd get the preaching so hard and everything, and he'd say something, and they would agree with him. That's what amen means. Amen means that you agree with what the preacher said. And we have to realize that what we're agreeing to. But I like it with a little old grannies. Got their little white scarf. And they're just waving it. And while they're waving it, tears are coming to their eyes. What's happened to that? What's happened to old time worship? You know what I believe it is? We made the house of God so comfortable that people can come into church and they don't feel a thing. Once we walk through them doors, whether you're saved or lost, you need to be filled in something. The lost individual will start feeling conviction. And the one that's saved ought to come in and feel that something is happening. And it's not the football game, and it's not the race car track, and it's not this, and it's not that. But it's all about an individual that walked in it. That's what it's all about. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. I really don't. Because there's going to be plenty enough that's going to go. Heaven is not going to be. It's filled like we think it is. The capacity of heaven. It's not going to be crowded like we think. A lot of people think it's going to be crowded. There's a whole lot of people out here that says they're saved, and they go to church sometimes, sometimes they don't. And sometimes you can tell. Hey, everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven. If you say that you're going to heaven, and then you out here, you running around, and you doing this and that and everything else, and you think you're going to heaven? No. You ain't going to heaven. Because you ain't got no business to be at Walmart on Sunday morning. Amen. And if you have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and a revival all week, you ain't got no business being at Walmart. You ain't got no business to be there at Sam's. You ain't got no business to be there at the grocery store. Because we have 168 days, 168 hours in a week that we can get things done, and we don't have to spend the 168 hours in that one day to where we can miss the church. You know the reason we miss church? You know the reason they miss church? Because they want to miss church. They want to miss church. People that love God truly, wholeheartedly, loves Him, love His affection, love saying His name. And you also love talking to them. It's not that many people anymore ever talk to them anymore. Because they've got their things they got to do. You know the only thing I've got to do? The only thing I have to do is be a witness for Him. I don't have to read this book or that book, but I got to be a witness for Him. And I tell you, it's getting tough. It's getting tough out there now. Talk to the people. Because they tell you anything they want to tell you just to get you off of their property. And see what you look like so the next time you come, they say, well, shit, man, he was just dang here 3 months ago. I ain't going like that. You know something? One of these days, they're going to come back and say, I wish I'd open that door and let that old preacher come into my house and worry me for a little bit, and I wouldn't be dead him. Glory to God, hallelujah. If we had bad eye closed, and we pray today, Father, that you will be with each one of us that's here this morning. Lord, it may not be that many here, but Father, we know, Lord, that you can take so many people, Father. You can get so much done out of little as much when you're in it. And Father, you can get your work done, but you have to have workers. And yes, Father, I want to be one of them workers. I want to be one of them individuals that will tell people. People I call, I talk to, or something like that. And yes, Father, I would love to be able to, nothing else, just walk on my feet and just, if I had to use a cane, or if I had to use two canes, Lord, the way I can just stand up, wouldn't have to worry about falling. Lord, where I could go, and I could go and visit some of these people, Father, this Ahean society, Lord, that knows not nothing about the Savior that I serve. Lord, touch me, Father. Touch my mind. Touch my feet. Touch my hands. Touch my ears and touch my eyes, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you save some soul today, Father. Save some soul, we pray. Lord, it may be a family member, I don't know. I may have a family member, Father, that needs salvation. And Lord, I know that you can save them. But Lord, are they willing? Are they willing to say, let me listen? And listen to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit came to save us. He introduces us to Jesus, the one that died for us. Father, bring us all back the next appointed time. Lord, I pray you give each one of us a good week. And Father, help us, Lord, that each one of us can be a witness for you. Because you've done so much for me and so much for them, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for it. Amen and amen.